Before we get into our gospel reading tonight, a little bit of background. Just before what we're going to read, we can read in the Gospel of John that some authorities believed in Jesus. But these authorities are scared of the religious leaders, so they don't want anyone to know that they believe that Jesus is from God. So they keep it to themselves. And here's what you read. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. That kind of stood out to me this week as I was reading it, because we human beings tend to be drawn to human glory, and Jesus invites us into something else. So as we get into our reading tonight, we're going to hear about Jesus kneeling down to wash his disciples' feet. And at this meal where he washes their feet, he's both the host of the meal and he's also the servant at the meal. And back in that day, hosts would either offer water for their guests to be able to wash their own feet, or they'd have a servant or a slave who would wash their feet, but a host would never dream of kneeling down to wash their guests' feet. A teacher and a leader would never dream of washing their followers' feet, except that's exactly what Jesus does. So here's the gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I want to pause there just a moment. I promise this is the only time I'll pause. But I want to pause there because that phrase, to the end, comes from a word in the original language of the scripture that can mean two things. It can mean to the end, like Jesus loves them to the end of his life, but it can also mean completely, that he loves his followers completely. And both meanings are meant here. And so Jesus is someone who loves his followers completely. We have that on the one side. And then as we get into the reading, we'll hear that there's someone who has it in their heart to reject that complete love and to betray Jesus. And so throughout this whole meal, Jesus' loving service is surrounded by human betrayal, human rejection, and human denial. So let's read the rest, verse 2. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered, you do not know now what I am doing, but later you'll understand. And Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, one who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. And then a little later, he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. So, how does Jesus want us to be known as disciples? Is it by having the best Bible knowledge? Is it even by faithful worship? Does he want the world to know that we are disciples by having the exact right beliefs? Or even having high moral standards? Jesus likely would love to have us have all those things. and we can develop our life of faith through some of those. But how does Jesus want us to be known out in the world and with each other? By love. By acts of humble, undeserved, loving service. I wonder if we can get that in our minds and in our lives, that that's how Jesus wants us to be known as his followers in the world. I mentioned this before, that the gospel notes that people love human glory more than the glory that comes from God. And we know that we live in a world where that's the case. And Jesus, whom we're told has been given all things into his hands, he's come from God, is going to God, he sets that aside. He sets aside human glory so he can reveal to us a better way, a way that is driven by humble, undeserved acts of love. And we get glimpses of this better way from time to time. I remember several years ago, I read a story about something that happened in New York. There was a man experiencing homelessness in November, and it was an extremely cold night, and he had no shoes or socks on his feet. And a police officer saw him. The police officer himself had two pairs of socks and insulated shoes, and his feet were cold. And then he saw this man who had blisters on his feet and nothing on. And he went over and talked to him, and then he left. And then he came back with a brand new pair of insulated boots and socks. And he not only gave it to the man who was experiencing homelessness, but he kneeled down and helped that older gentleman put on those socks and those shoes or those boots. And someone snapped a picture of that kindness, and it became big news. But that's not why the police officer did it. Right? He saw a need, and he knew there was something in his power to do something. And whatever his motivation, it reveals the humble, servant-like, complete love of Jesus. And I wonder, should it have made big news? I mean, I'm glad it did. But ideally, these kinds of acts would be ordinary, would be everyday acts that we see happening all the time, that it's just what we do because we follow Jesus, that people would see these happening all the time because that's how we're known. A few years ago, leading up to Monday, Thursday worship, I was sitting waiting for my car to be repaired early one morning, and I was in the lounge, and I was sitting there with my laptop open and my Bible out, open to this passage, to John chapter 13, and I was working on my Monday, Thursday sermon, trying to get it done in time. And there's another gentleman in there who was kindly minding his own business, doing his own thing so I could do mine. And then this woman came in, and she plopped down in a chair and just started talking. And I was like, can you see I'm busy here? And I was like, do I just smile and look down? That's kind of what I wanted to do. But I just read these exact words, love one another as I have loved you. I'm reading about Jesus setting aside all his own stuff so he can kneel down to serve and show what love is. And I'm like, okay, I guess I can put this away for a little while and listen. Not because I wanted to, but because I just heard Jesus' command to love. And in that conversation, I learned the woman had just gotten out of the hospital, but she's still trying to recover. And as I listened to her story, I asked her, do you live alone? And she said, no, but I might as well. She shared that her husband's aging and she's his caregiver, though she's dealing with all her own stuff. And so maybe on that day she just needed somebody to listen, to share a little bit of that load for a short time. We are faced with these kinds of opportunities all the time. Times when a neighbor or a friend or a stranger clearly needs something and wants something and we don't want to respond because it's inconvenient. But sometimes Jesus' command to love, sometimes that word moves us. One year when I was out in Pennsylvania, we had community Lenten-wide services, so we would do that with ecumenically with all kinds of different churches. And so one year I got to hear my colleague, a pastor in the Mennonite church, share the message. And that year we were doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And so he gave a message on the fruit of the Spirit, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, goodness, self-control, all those things. And he quoted from that same scripture that there's no law against such things. And then, I don't know exactly what he was talking about, but he said, what if we took all the money and energy and time that we Christians put into religious laws or rules that we try to impose on other people? And what if we instead spent all that money, energy, and time on living out the fruit of the Spirit ourselves? Like, what if we devoted our time and energy to finding real ways to living out the Holy Spirit's peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and generosity and self-control? All these things that point to Jesus. And if we look at our gospel tonight, we could put it this way, like, what if we exerted all of our energy and focus on being known as people who live Jesus' love? The kind of love that shows up when people aren't their best selves. The kind of love that shows up, Jesus' love, that gives strength for whatever is ahead. Jesus' love is surrounded by people who love human glory more than God's glory. Jesus' love shows up with somebody who's going to turn away from Jesus' complete love to betray him, and yet Jesus' love shows up for that person anyway. By the end of this scene, we didn't read this tonight, but Peter says to Jesus, I will give my life for you. And Jesus says, Peter, when push comes to shove, you're going to end up denying me, denying that you're my follower, not once, but three times. And Jesus' love shows up for Peter anyway. Jesus' love is so complete that it persists in spite of human betrayals and denials and desertions. His love gets poured out on each of these imperfect followers, and it's poured out over each of us imperfect followers today, so that we, our whole lives, would be shaped by this love. So that we as followers of Jesus might be known by this love. And we now are going to have a chance to reflect on that love. In a few moments, we'll have a chance to move to our prayer stations and to come up over here and share concerns that we have right now and have someone pray for us as a sign of Jesus' love. Or if you feel so moved, you can head to the back and kind of step into the story and experience foot washing, a symbol of Jesus' love. Or you might think of places across the world or in our own community that need Jesus' love right now. And you can think of that place, pray for it, and place a heart-shaped stone on the maps over there. Or you might have someone in your life right now that you know needs Jesus' love. And you can come forward and light a candle for that person, pray for them, and then ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. How is the Holy Spirit moving you to do an act of love for that person in a new way? Or maybe you simply want to stay in your seat and just listen for Jesus. Pray for Jesus' love to shape you and shape each one of us here tonight and in all the days to come. That we, as followers of Jesus, might be known by Jesus' amazing, humble love. Amen.